from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first headlines. Indonesia protests Australia to move its embassy to Jerusalem. Indonesia provides scholarship for Palestinian students. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian government asks Australia and other countries to support peacekeeping process between Palestine and Israel that continuously done to give solutions for the two states. It was affirmed by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi during a press conference with Palestine Foreign Affairs Minister Riyad Al-Maliki at the Pancasila building in Jakarta on Thursday. To respond, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison's statement that Australia is open on the possibility to move their embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, even though they commit on the two-state solution.
Indonesia telah meminta Australia dan negara-negara lain untuk terus...
Indonesia has asked Australia and other countries to continue support Palestine-Israel peacekeeping process in line with the principle that has been agreed and not taking any step that can threat the peace process itself and world security stability. Indonesia's support to Palestine is the trust of the Constitution. Moreover, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has summoned Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Gary Goilnan to the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry office on Tuesday afternoon in connection to the plan. Meanwhile, Foreign Affairs spokesman Armananta Nasir told RRI in Jakarta that Quinlan was summoned for an explanation from the Australian government about his embassy movement to Palestine. We stated our position on Australia's statement on Tuesday, October 16, connecting to the Palestine issues. Ambassador Quinlan arrived at the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry office at 5:15 and met with Minister Retno Marsudi. After their meeting, Quinlan told the media that Australian position will not change and still supporting two-state solution where Palestine and Israel can live side by side in peace and secure. Economic Observer of Institute for Development of Economic and Finance INDA Bima Yudhistira Adinegara on Tuesday in Jakarta said that trade war between United States and China is a momentum to expand Indonesian market to countries that have high potency. To RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, Bima said Africa and Russia were two potential markets. He also said that to expand Indonesian market to new countries besides United States and China, Indonesia had to take strategic steps so export activities in the country could fulfill the standard that needed by the new countries. Besides, Indonesia also need to increase its investment in human resources development to fill the requirements of industry workers.
This is how we change from the domestic-oriented to the export-oriented with searching to the new market. And of course, if the new market is growing, like Africa and Eurasia, for instance, we need a lot of the investment. So we need a lot of packages, like a fiscal incentive to open up the barrier, for instance, for investment. And the third one is how to increase our human capital. because if we want to challenge this global condition in terms of the trade wars, the human capital or human development to match with the industry needed, I think it's very, very important.
Furthermore, Biman said that the Indonesian government has to maximize investment potency in the country. According to him, foreign investment FDI in Indonesia only reached 5.7% from the total investment in the country. Meanwhile, ASEAN regions reach a 17% level of investment. The number is under Vietnam, that reached 20% of foreign investment in the country. The country's currency, rupiah, regained some of its lost value, trading at the level of 15,175 per US dollar in interbank transaction on Wednesday morning, strengthening from earlier level of 15,181. Economist of Samuel Securitas, Ahmad Makal, said the US dollar tended to weaken facing a number of other world's major currencies on speculation that investors began to react positively to the performance of stock markets in developing economies. Mikhail said the U.S. bond yield, which is stable at the level of 3.16%, indicated that investors became more positive on financial reports of listed companies in stock market. Meanwhile, a senior analyst of CSA Research Institute, Reja Priyambada, said the approval of the assumption of over the rupiah exchange rate at 15,000 per dollar in the draft state budget 2019 was responded positively by the market players. In addition, the Asian Games, which contributed 0.05 percentage point to the country's gross domestic product GDP, also gave positive sentiment that strengthened rupiah. National Jagat Agency Basnas signed a memorandum of understanding with the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, or UNRWA. The MOU is an effort to provide assistance and protection to the Palestinians that become a conflict victims in their country. The MOU was signed at the Pancasila building of Foreign Affairs Ministry Office on Thursday. The Vice Chairman of Basnas, Jainul Bahar Noor, and UNRWA Chairman signed the MOU. Basnas also provides donation to Jordan Hammersmith Charity Organization for Palestinians. Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi, who witnessed the signing of the MOU, said that what Basnas did was the first innovation of distributing zakat in Indonesia.
Yang ketiga adalah Badan Zakat Nasional Basnas, seperti yang kita lihat.
The third is National Zakat Agency Basnas, as we have witnessed earlier, have donated to UNRWA and Jordan Hammersmith Charity Organization for the Palestine refugees. This is the first innovation where zakat can be channeled for the refugees, in this case, Palestinian refugees. On the same occasion, Basnas Vice Chairman General Bahar Noor explained that the memorandum of understanding was signed to focusing on the Palestinian refugees issues that is vulnerable and dependent on the UNRWA donation. According to him, Basnas is committed to help Palestinian people, including refugees that currently under UNRWA protection. The numbers of refugees that was on the list is 5 million people that spread in Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, West Coast, and Gaza Strip. He added that Basnas held a charity event for the Palestinians for 2 years, and the donation will be given to UNRWA to support their programs, especially in education and health, through the cooperation with local and international agencies. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government agrees to provide scholarship for Palestinian students. The agreement was accomplished during Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Palestinian Foreign First Minister Riyad Al-Maliki held a bilateral meeting in Pancasila building at the Foreign Affairs Ministry office in Jakarta on Tuesday. Retno said that the Indonesia Rector Forum and Pajajaran University have agreed to give the scholarship. Besides, Indonesia government also offers scholarship on aviation education for Palestinian students.
Masih terkait dengan capacity building, forum rektor dan juga Universitas Pajajaran.
Still in line with capacity building, Indonesian Rector Forum and Pajajaran University gives scholarship to the Palestinian students. This is part of Indonesia's effort to prepare Palestinian young generation. The scholarship on the aviation education for Palestinian students at the Indonesian aviation schools are currently in the process, so it can be implemented soon. Renault hopes the scholarship programs can be part of an effort to build capacity building to get positive impact for Palestinians' welfare, especially for young generation in education. In 2019, Indonesia plans to provide scholarship to 90 Palestinian officials and people. The program so far will be varied from women empowerment, good governance, tropical food agriculture, food and medicine control, and also aviation training. According to Renault, so far there have been 2,000 Palestinians received capacity building in 17 programs that have been provided by the Indonesian government. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister Riyad Al-Maliki held Indonesia-Palestine bilateral consultation at the Pancasila Building, Foreign Affairs Ministry Office in Jakarta on Tuesday. The consultation that was held for the first time is a vessel to translate the two countries' good relations into concrete cooperation and real assistance. The two ministers also signed an MOU to establish a joint commission that will be discussed in a forum to elevate bilateral cooperation in technical sector. On her statement, Minister Retno Marsudi said that the Indonesia-Palestine bilateral consultation is part of a series of activities of the Solidarity Week for Palestine.
Konsultasi bilateral ini merupakan yang pertama kalinya.
This bilateral consultation is the first time between Indonesia and Palestine since the opening of diplomatic relations almost 30 years ago. Minister Riyad comes to Indonesia together with me to participate in Solidarity Week for Palestine. It was held from October 13 to 17. As you all know, there has been a series of activities in this event. The activities that was held in Bandung or Jakarta are the reflection and symbol of government's consistent support and Indonesian people for Palestinians' struggle. According to Retno, the two states reinforced their cooperation in trade, especially between business people, through the establishment of Indonesia-Palestine Business Council. On the same occasion, Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister Riyad Al-Maliki stated the appreciation on the Indonesia free trade policy for Palestine's products since 2018 is one of major factors for Palestine's independence. On the Solidarity Week for Palestine, the two ministers also officially opened the Palestine Walk in Bandung on October 13 and Walk for Peace and Humanity in Jakarta on October 14. Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister also paid a courtesy visit to President Joko Widodo on October 15 and visited National Agency of Food and Drug Control, BPOM. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, announced that some 18,000 tents were needed to shelter the disaster-hit refugees in the city of Palu, as well as districts of Sigi and Donggala, Central Sulawesi Province. BNPB Deputy for Disaster Prevention and Preparedness, Bernardus Wisnuwijaya, stated on Tuesday that BNPB have received some tents from several civil society and non-governmental organizations and distributed them to the disaster-affected areas in central Sulawesi. He said the Indonesian Red Cross has provided 1,300 tents, while other NGOs have also prepared some additional tents for refugees. Wijaya further remarked that as many as 800 emergency tents are required to build temporary classes for children in Palu, Sigi, and Donggala. The UNICEF had earlier sent 200 tents to serve as temporary classes for children in three main areas affected by disaster in central Sulawesi. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on U.S.-Saudi relationship post the missing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Good relations between Saudi Arabia and the United States are being tested. The alleged death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi involving the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul has triggered the test of bilateral relations between the two countries. The United States threatens to sanction its partner if it is proven that the alleged death of the Washington Post journalist was due to Saudi Arabia's actions. Jamal Khashoggi is a Washington Post journalist who is critical of the Saudi Arabian government. Although Saudi Arabia has denied the allegations, President Donald Trump has said he would give punishment if Riyadh was proven involved in the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. The Trump threat has reduced good relations between the two countries, which have been exacerbated by Saudi Arabian interference in Yemen. The threat has caused strong reaction in Riyadh. An unnamed government official, for instance, responded to Washington's threat, saying he would do the same in return. As reported by the AFP news agency, Saudi Arabian government officials said they would retaliate if the United States gave economic sanctions. One form of the retaliation is by transferring good relations to Iran. Iran is now a common enemy of Saudi Arabia and the United States. Al Arabiya Television said further that the oil-rich Saudi Arabian government had 30 steps to repay the United States and Western countries if the sanctions were imposed. The rhetoric about the retaliatory action is being questioned, of course. If Saudi Arabia had not been involved in the case of disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul, Turkey, since October the 2nd, then Riyadh should not have reacted strongly to the threat of Trump. There are two steps that can be taken. First, through diplomatic channels. In the name of friendship and good relations, the government in Riyadh can actually convey its position and state that the alleged murder of Jamal Khashoggi by the elements of his government is not true. The second step is to allow a transparent and open investigation into the alleged Jamal Khashoggi murder. With the investigation, it will be proven that Turkey's accusation that the Saudi Arabian government has fabricated the loss of Khashoggi, killed and dismissed, is not true. Saudi Arabia should understand why then Donald Trump threatened Saudi Arabia. Domestically, Trump is politically pressured by a number of lawmakers in Capitol Hill. Will the relations between the United States and Saudi Arabia continue to deteriorate? Of course, is yet to be seen from the efforts of Saudi Arabia to follow up on the alleged Jamal Khashoggi murder. Well, that was commentary today on U.S.-Saudi relationship post the missing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with an outstanding event happening today in the past, today in history. Let's start with an event on October 17, 1952. On October 17, 1952, the Indonesian Army troops demonstrated in front of the State Palace, protesting the interference of the Provisional People's Legislative Assembly against the Army. Then the Army Chief of Staff Colonel Aha Nasution and seven regional commanders requested the Provisional People's Legislative Assembly to be dissolved. Kemal Idris, one of the seven commanders, directed the muzzle of a cannon to the palace. His pretext was to protect President Sukarno from students' demonstration. President rejected the demands for dissolution of parliament on the grounds that did not want to become a dictator, but will try to speed up the election. Colonel Aha Nasution submitted a request to resign and was followed by Major General Tb Simatupang. The post of Army Chief of Staff was replaced by Colonel Bambang Sugeng. Let's move on to October 17, 1968, where Usman and Harun, members of the Operation Command Corps or KKO, are hanged in Singapore on terrorism charges. Second Sergeant Anumerta Usman Janatin bin Haji Ali Hassan died in Singapore October 17, 1968, at the age of 25 years. He is one of two members of the KKO of the Operation Command Corps, now called Indonesian Marines, who were arrested in Singapore at the time of the confrontation with Malaysia. Together with another KKO member named Harun Tohir, he was hanged by the Singapore government on October 17, 1968 on charges of planting bombs in the heavily populated Singapore city center on March 10, 1965. He was buried at Kalibata Hero Cemetery in Jakarta. Let's end today in history on October 17, 1979, where Mother Teresa is awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Mother Teresa is a well-known and controversial Catholic nun. She worked among the poor in Calcutta. For over 47 years, she had served the poor, sick, orphan, and dying while guiding the first missionaries of charity expansion across India and subsequently in other countries. Throughout her life, at the time of her death, she has run 610 missions in 123 countries, including shelters and homes for people living with HIV/AIDS. Leprosy and tuberculosis, counseling programs for children and families, orphanage and schools. Mother Teresa was awarded numerous awards, among them Templeton Award in 1973, Nobel Peace Prize on October 17, 1979, and the highest honor of Indian civilian Bharat Ratna in 1980. She was also a U.S. Citizen of Honor in 1996. Mother Teresa was blessed by Pope John Paul II in October 2003. Therefore, she was called Teresa the Blessed. Listener, that was Today in History of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, which today is on the World Bank prepares a $1 billion loan for disaster construction. For disaster reconstruction in Indonesia. The World Bank has committed loan assistance of $1 billion or around 15 trillion rupiahs to assist Indonesia in the reconstruction process after natural disasters in Lombok and Palu and strengthen long-term resilience. This long-term loan is a continuation of the result of the talks between Vice President Yusuf Kalla and the Chief Executive Officer of the World Bank Group, Kristalina Georgieva, who discussed the assistance agreement for Indonesia. Kristalina Georgieva, in her written statement quoted by Antara on Sunday, said that the Indonesian government's efforts to restore affected areas were very good. The loan package includes giving cash to 150,000 poor families affected in natural disasters for periods of 6 months to a year. The Social Security scheme is designed to strengthen the local economy and to create jobs during the recovery period and prevent long-term damage to human capital. This $1 billion package can also be used for disaster recovery programs to finance public facilities and other important infrastructure. Affected infrastructure that can utilize the assistance, including hospitals, schools, bridges, highways, toll roads, and water supply facilities. In addition, the assistance can strengthen monitoring and early warning systems, strengthen the reconstruction process of houses, and rebuild the infrastructure and surface environment. Previously, Vice President Yusuf Kalla revealed that the loan tenor from the World Bank for Disaster Management could reach 35 years, so it would not burden the government. In addition to providing loan or funding assistance, the World Bank also contributed $5 million for technical assistance in the form of grants to ensure that the reconstruction process is carried out in the near future. The World Bank estimates losses for geospatial damage and infrastructure buildings and houses affected by the tsunami in Palu reached $531 million or 8.1 trillion rupiahs. The estimate does not include the calculation of casualties, loss of land, or economic disruption due to lost livelihoods. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said the commitment from the World Bank could strengthen efforts to increase resilience and improve the handling of natural disasters. However, she ensured the disbursement of aid funds and their utilization must go through the discussion process with the Parliament. Well, that was my Indonesia Today. On the World Bank prepares a $1 billion loan for disaster reconstruction in Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian government asks Australia and other countries to support peacekeeping process between Palestine and Israel that continuously done to give solutions for the two states. Economic Observer Institute for Development of Economic and Finance Inda Bima Yudhistira Adinegara on Tuesday in Jakarta said that trade war between the United States and China is a momentum to expand Indonesian market to countries that have high potency. National Jagat Agency Basnas signed a memorandum of understanding with the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East UNRWA. The MOU is an effort to provide assistance and protection to the Palestinians that become a conflict victims in their country. Indonesian government agrees to provide scholarship for Palestinian students. The agreement was accomplished during Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Palestinian Foreign First Minister Riyad Al-Maliki held a bilateral meeting in Jakarta. The Indonesian government has made a concrete steps by holding an emergency response to natural disaster which happened 2 weeks ago. Government institutions and private companies, including Dompet Duafa and Jakarta Forum, moved directly to Palu, Donggala, and other areas affected by the disaster to provide temporary house and medical assistance. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister Riyad Al-Maliki held Indonesia-Palestine bilateral consultation at the Pancasila Building. The consultation that was held for the first time is a vessel to translate the two countries' good relations into concrete cooperation. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, announced that some 18,000 tents were needed to shelter the disaster-hit refugees in the city of Palu, as well as district of Sigi and Donggala, Central Sulawesi. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a tourism object in Tomohon, North Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, Tomohon is flanked by two mountains, Lokon and Mahawu. No wonder if this place feels so cool with beautiful scenery. At this place, flowers grow and make Tomohon to have a nickname, a Thousand Flower City. One of the main tourism objects in Tomohon is Linau Lake. Listeners, Linau Lake is located in Lahendong, South Tomohon, North Sulawesi. The word of Linau comes from Minahasa, a local language, namely Lilinowan, meaning gathering place for water. The color of the lake's water can change from green, blue to yellow brownish. The change of the water's color is caused by sulfur element which is buried in the lake and also the reflection of sunlight. The right time to enjoy the beauty of Linau Lake is in the morning, because at the time the air is still clean and also the weather surrounding the lake is still fresh. In addition, its atmosphere is still calm and quiet. Listeners, entering to Linau Lake, you will smell something bad. The smell is from sulfur as a post-eruption of Mount Mahawu 100 years ago. Therefore, the water of the lake is sulfur water, so that tourists are not allowed to swim, because the sulfur content can make their bodies injured. Listeners, to go to Linau Lake from Tomohon takes around 20 minutes by motor vehicles. The location of this tourism destination is easy to be accessed. You can enjoy the beauty of its nature while drinking a cup of tea or coffee, which can be bought at the stall surrounding the lake. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Linau Tomohon Lake. Thank you for listening.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI's foreign broadcasting station, and the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Cultures, Language Development and Development Agency. Today's topic is sangat panas or very hot. Next is a sample conversation on sangat panas or very hot. Characters Tony and Endah, setting Joko's house. Situation, Endah and Tony are talking about news on natural disasters. Endah, menurut berita, cuaca di sana sangat panas setelah bencana. Berapa suhunya? Mencapai 36 derajat Celcius. Panas sekali. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is sangat panas or very hot. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Cuaca. Cuaca, which means weather. Suhu, suhu, which means temperature. Menurut berita, cuaca di sana sangat panas setelah bencana. Menurut berita, cuaca di sana sangat panas setelah bencana. Menurut berita, cuaca di sana sangat panas setelah bencana. Which means, according to the news, the weather there was very hot after the disaster. Berapa suhunya? Berapa suhunya, which means how much is the temperature? Mencapai 34 derajat Celsius. Mencapai 34 derajat Celsius, which means it reaches 34 degrees. Panas sekali, which means scorching hot. In the dialogue, Tony said, cuaca di sana sangat panas. Cuaca di sana sangat panas, or the weather there is very hot. The word panas or hot in this context of the conversation is emphasized with the word sangat or very and placed before the adjective. Examples of the use of the word sangat, for instance, gempanya sangat kuat. Gempanya sangat kuat. The earthquake is very strong. Kami sangat sedih mendengar berita itu. Kami sangat sedih mendengar berita itu. We are very sad to hear the news. The synonyms of the word sangat in the context of the sentence is sekali. Sekali. The difference between sangat, sangat, and sekali, sekali, is that the word sangat is placed before the adjective while the word sekali is placed after the adjective. Consider the example of usage and word difference of very and sekali in the following. Cuaca di sana sangat panas. Cuaca di sana sangat panas. The weather there is very hot. Cuaca di sana panas sekali. Cuaca di sana panas sekali. The weather is so hot there. Saya sangat sedih mendengar berita itu. Saya sangat sedih mendengar berita itu. I am very sad to hear the news. Saya sedih sekali mendengar berita itu. Saya sedih sekali mendengar berita itu. I'm very sad to hear the news. Sometimes there are those who use the word sangat and sekali at once, such as cuaca di sana sangat panas sekali, or the weather there is very hot. The phrase is often used but wrong according to the Indonesian grammar rules. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again. Endah. Menurut berita, cuaca di sana sangat panas setelah bencana. Tony, berapa suhunya? Endah. Mencapai 36 derajat Celcius. Tony, panas sekali. After listening to the above conversation about sangat panas or very hot, I'll provide some exercise which is of course related to the words that you have learned so far. This exercise is to describe the tourist attractions in your city and your feelings when you are there. Example, di kota kami ada tempat wisata yang bernama Pantai Ancol. Kami sangat senang di pantai ini karena bisa berenang, bermain pasir, naik perahu, juga berjemur di pinggir pantai. As an exercise, send your voice recordings in Indonesian to our email address @voi@voinews.id. There will be an attractive package for lucky listener whose name will be announced in November 2018. Well, that was Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia Today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian. I'm Anat Wijaya Kasih.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Music Corner, a segment which presents you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. For today's Music Corner, I will present you some beautiful songs from Dira Sugandi, an Indonesian singer who has received many achievements. She has ever held collaboration with some international artists such as David Foster, Kate Martin, Andrea Bocelli, and Diane Warren. The singer, who was graduated from vocal performance of Pelita Harapan University, actively performed jazz music in foreign countries with world jazz musicians such as Incognito, a band from England. To initiate our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a nostalgic pop song from Dira Sugandi featuring J Flo entitled Unbeatable. Happy listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm stopping time there. I can make you prouder. Flying to the highest stars.
To the highest stars.
Yeah, I break the chains and dancing in the rain. I'm living on a jet plane. I got so much more to gain.
So much more to gain.
I can be that silver lining in the cloud. I'ma show the world what I'm about. I will sing. They say that I just don't have it. They say, just go back, forget it. They say, I say, well, I'm just gonna get it. I say, I won't stop till I made it. I say, I will not regret it. I say, I can be that silver lining in the cloud. I'ma show the world what I'm about. I will sing. Feeling stronger, clap your hands. I can be that hole in the universe. I can be that joy that you deserve. I will sing out loud. If you're feeling lonely, tag your friends.
Let's take it higher now.
You can be the fire.
Listeners, you have just listened to the song entitled Unbeatable by Dira Sugandi featuring Jay Flo. The song was one of the official songs of the Asian Games 2018. Her duet performance at closing ceremony of Asian Games last September got appreciation among spectators and people who watched the event. Moreover, South Korean boy band Super Junior or Suju invited Dira to collaborate. It was not the first time for Dira to draw attention of international communities. The singer with complete name Dira Julianti Sugandi has a signing talent since she was childhood. Since she entered musical industry in 2000, Dira Sugandi has also ever collaborated with international musicians such as Jason Mraz and David Foster. In 2010, she released an album Something About the Girl, one of titles of the album No More Tears. It's mostly liked by jazz fans in England and Japan. Well, listeners, let me dedicate you to the song from Dira Sugandi entitled No More Tears. Enjoy the song.
Baby,
Listeners, that was the song entitled No More Tears by Dira Sugandi. The song has directly received appreciation from jazz music lovers. The album of Something About the Girl by Dira Sugandi has occupied rank 7th for Soul Album in England in 2010 and included nominees named for 2010 Soul Track Award. The album Something About the Girl was the first album of Dira that was released on March 8, 2010 by Expansion Records. 80% of music and lyrics of the album released by Jane Paul Monique, producer, song composer, guitarist, vocalist, and leader of Incognito Band. In Indonesia, a woman who born in Bandung on 29th July 1979, well known through her performance at Java Jazz Festival. Well, listeners, to end our segment of Music Corner, let us listen to the last two songs from Dira Sugandi, entitled Pelangi and Lamaleras Dream. Happy listening and see you in the next other editions of Music Corner.
berjalan bersama lupakan keangkuhan kita. Jangan pernah ragukan sebersih bisikan nurani. Kita manusia tak mungkin bisa sama. Warna-warni kehidupan selalu kan menghiasi. Ku sadari perbedaan bagaikan keindahanmu pelangi antara kita. Walau berbeda jalan itu sebuah pilihan. Ku mengerti. Warna-warni kehidupan selalu, warna-warni kehidupan selalu akan datang menghiasi. Warna-warni perbedaan kita.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Lama lera, oh, lama lera.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.